ESR. I am Eric Pazalucci. I'm the session chair, and a one-second advertisement. If you see people wearing Hawaiian leis, ask them about ASRU. Okay. We're going to start off. Our first paper is Front-End Feature Transforms with Context Filtering for Speaker Adaptation. The paper is by Jing Huang, Kartik Viswaswarya, Peter Olson, and Vaibhava Goel, and it will be presented by Steve Rennie.
Okay, so the topic is Front-End Feature Transforms with Context Filtering for Speaker Adaptation. So this is an outline of the talk. First, I'll briefly motivate the work and explain basically what's what we're trying to accomplish. Then next, I'll give an overview of the new technique called maximum likelihood context filtering. And then we'll move straight into some experiments and results to see how it works. Okay, so the topic is front-end speaker adaptation. In terms of front-end transforms, we usually do linear transforms or conditionally linear transforms. Perhaps the most popular technique is feature space MLLR, or maybe more popularly named constrained MLLR. And of course, there's discriminative techniques that have developed and nonlinear transformations. Some variants of FMLR that have been worked on in recent years are quick FMLR and full covariance FMLR. So today I'll tell you about another variant of FMLR. But first, let's review FMLR. So the idea is you're given a set of adaptation data, and you want to estimate linear transformation A and bias B, which can be concatenated into the linear matrix W. So the key point about FMLR for the purposes of this talk is that the A matrix is square. It's D by D in the notation used here, and that makes it particularly easy to learn. So of course, the main thing you need to deal with when you adapt these transforms is the volume change compensation. In the case of a linear transformation, it's just the log determinant A in red you see in our objective function Q. The second term there is just the typical term you see. It has the posterior probability of all the components of the acoustic model you're evaluating. That's gamma subscripted by J for each Gaussian. Okay, so when we start to think about the non-square case, what do we need to do? So first, let's set up the notation. So we use the notation x hat of t to denote a vector with context. In this case, there's context size 1. So there's xt minus 1, t, and t plus 1 have been concatenated to make x hat of t. So the model is y equals a x hat. We condense this notation to form W, and here the main difference here is that A is non-square. In this case, it is D by 3D, because the output Y is the original dimension of the input X. But X hat is 3D. So how do we estimate a non-square matrix to maximize likelihood? So an important point is there's no direct obvious way to do this, and that's because you're changing the dimension of the space, so there's no determinate volume that you can use, at least in a straightforward manner, to accomplish this. So let's go back and look at how we get that term. So basically what you say is that the log likelihood under the transformation L of Y is up equal to the log likelihood of the input variable up to a constant, that is your Jacobian term. So in the case that you assume that A is square, you can readily confirm that the term is a half log ratio of the determinant of the input and output model, assuming they're Gaussian. So this slide is just showing how you would derive that. There's Lx, a Gaussian, Ly, a linear Gaussian of the linear transform data, And essentially, you equate them to find what C is, and you'll find that it is the log ratio as we asserted before. So on the bottom line there in red, if you break down that ratio, you see that the covariance of the variable y, this is just a known identity, it's A sigma x transposed A transposed, A sigma x A transposed. So the compensation term ends up being log determinant A. So in our case, we're going to assume that the compensation term remains the same. We'll drop the log determinant of sigma x hat term because it does not depend on A. And then we're left with the A sigma x A transposed term that we had in this case that A was square. So the modified objective becomes the following. And one point is that, well, what is this sigma x hat that was used? Well, what they did is they used a full covariance approximation to all the speech features to come up with that full covariance sigma x hat. And they used it in this objective to learn A. Okay, so in terms of optimizing this modified objective, the statistics that you need have the same form as in the square case. Of course, the sizes are different. The two main quantities that you need to optimize the objective are to be able to evaluate the objective Q and the derivative of the objective. And so the row-by-row iterative update algorithm that people normally use cannot be applied here. At least it's not obvious how to do it. We're looking at it now, but there are some ways to do something very similar. For the purposes of this paper, just a BFGS optimization package was used, the HCL package. And as I mentioned before, you just pass in the function, and you make the function and its gradient available at any point that the optimizer wants to evaluate. Okay, so that's essentially the method. I'll try and leave some time for questions at the end if there's any more details that are requested. So moving right on to training data and models. So the training data for the task we evaluated this technique on was collected in stationary noise. There was about 800 hours of it. A word internal model with pentaphone context, 830 context-dependent states, and 10K Gaussians was trained. And the technique was tested on LDA 40-dimensional features built and on models built using maximum likelihood, BMMI, and on a model with an FMMI transformation applied before we applied context filtering. In terms of test data, it was recorded in cars at three different speeds, 0, 30, and 60 miles per hour. There were four tasks: address, digits, commands, and radio control. And that's about 26K utterances and a total of 130,000 words. So here's the distribution of the SNR distribution of this data set in terms of speed. You can see, we'll see that most of the gain is obtained for the 60 mile per hour data. And for that data, about basically half of the data is below, say, 12 and a half dB. We estimated the SNRs using forced alignments. Okay, so for experiments, context filtering was tried for speaker adaptation, training speaker-dependent adapting a canonical model. So MLCFN, just a little nomenclature here, is maximum likelihood context filtering with context size n. So 1 would be plus or minus 1 frame is included in the context when computing the transform. So for all the experiments, the transform was initialized with identity with respect to the current frames parameters, and the side frames were initialized to have zero, to zeros. So just for reference, they also tried using, for the center part of the matrix, the FMLR that was estimated using the usual technique. Okay, so in terms of results, just skip right ahead to that. So Clearly, the FMLR brings a lot over the baseline on this data. And when you turn on context filtering, you actually get some significant gains. In the 60 mile per hour column, you can see that they're highlighted in red. So this is actually 23% relative gain in word error rate, 13% in sentence error rate over FMLR. The other point here is that starting with FMLR and then adapting actually doesn't give you any advantage over starting with an identity matrix. This plot is just showing how performance varies with the amount of data you provide to the transform estimation. So here we can see that actually the relative degradation in performance when you have less data, in this case 10 utterances versus all utterances, I believe all is 100 in this case, is less. And I think the argument here is that you're using context, so you can do some averaging of the data you see, and that's effectively regularizing the estimation to some extent, although there's more parameters to estimate, so it's kind of counterintuitive, I think. Okay, this is just a picture of a typical FMLR transform estimated using our system. It's for the most part diagonal. And this is the corresponding one frame of context filtering transform. So you can see, interestingly, it's not symmetric. The mapping from previous to current frame is almost diagonal, and so is the current to current frame mapping. Excuse me. But the account of the future looks kind of random. One thing to keep in mind is that this is it's actually a whole subspace of optimal solutions to this problem. So it's not clear if this is an artifact of the optimization package, perhaps the order in it that it optimized the subspace in or whatnot. Excuse me. Okay, so here's some more results collected using a BMMI model. And again, we're seeing some significant gains over FMLR, about 10% relative improvement on the 60 mile per hour data. Once again, when we train FMMI transform and then apply context filtering, we're still actually getting some gains. It's about 9% relative sentence error rate reduction over FMLR. Okay, so in summary, MLCF extends the full rank square matrix technique called FMLR to a non-square matrix. And there's some very nice gains on some pretty good systems that use BMMI, FMMI when we apply this technique. So in terms of future work, of course, there's the use of, we should, trying a discriminative objective function is something that I think they're looking at. And of course, another question is how this technique interacts with traditional noise robustness methods like spectral subtraction, dynamic noise adaptation, etc. Okay, so that's all I have. Hopefully there's some time left for questions.
Can you please go use the microphone?
So the plot you had for improvement said that you had to have 10 utterances for each speed. How do you do that in a practical sense? Are you going to keep track?
Let me just go to the, this is just investigating the amount of data that is needed for the transform to be effective. So this is useful in the sense that if you need to enroll a speaker, for example, on a cell phone, he only needs to talk 10 utterances. By the way, that's a good point. Each utterance is only about 3 seconds. So we're talking about, you know, at 30 seconds of data, we're already almost at completely adapted to the speaker, as opposed to FMLR that actually seems to need about 30 to be at that stage.
Can you use the microphone? There's one right there.
So from this chart, you're working on exclusively, utterances collected at 60 miles per hour speech. In a real scenario, you know, people drive, stop, highway, so the, you know, sequence, you know, as measured with SNR is not as stationary. Have you tested that scenario?
Yeah, they didn't consider that in this work. It's a, this is block, it's block optimization of the matrix, actually. So you just take a section of speaker data and see how many utterances are required to get decent gains. But that's certainly an important problem.
Okay, do we have any more questions? Okay, I have a quick one. I was actually kind of interested when you were looking at the results for one and two, length didn't seem to be too different. When you did they actually do a visualization of the two context matrices? Because I found the visualization interesting, and I was wondering if that ended up looking much different.
Oh, I see. Right. I think the I think this is one of the only ones they actually looked at.
Okay.
I was very curious about that myself. Okay. So they put them in at the last moment, actually. Yeah, that's very interesting. Certainly, for the experiments they did, they found that performance was saturating at about left and right context of two. Mm-hmm. So I think the asymmetry in that is begs for future investigation and understanding.
Okay, let's thank the speaker. Okay, we're going to need a minute to set up the next speaker, so we'll start in just a minute.